Indira and I had to kind of get him out of the house because Mum was shaking. The ego was so strong, the me, the I was so strong. And but the nurse who would come once a week, you know, she was focused on others, her family, her work, how she could help. And Mum would just look forward all week to seeing her, and then she'd talk about her for the rest of the week. Isn't she beautiful? Isn't she kind? So this is really what she says. She says, you know, focus on others. When we don't understand this, we become victims of self-cherishing thought. And we really think that our happiness is the most important and our suffering is the most important. But if we can drop that and instead focus on others, then we have the potential for infinite happiness. Actually, as Buddhist practitioners, when we do things, we shouldn't care about happiness for this life. That's not why we practice. And we also don't care about our own happiness, you know. That is something that just by practicing takes care of itself. If we become obsessed with our own happiness, we'll never be happy. If we care about others' happiness, we use ourselves for others' happiness, then everything comes. Everything comes that way. Best purification, most extensive way to benefit. Best purification, best way to accumulate merit. Thinking about others. Self-cherishing thought means what? Self-cherishing means that for us now, if we're in a room of 100 people, you know, we always have this thought, I'm the most important. The 99 others are less important. You know, I'm the most important. If we're in a room with 1,000 people, I'm the most important. 999 are less important. If there's 100,000 people, I'm the most important. 999 and 99, 99, 99, I'm not a mathematician, are less important. That's how we feel. In a world of how many billion, I'm the most important, and all those other billions plus 99, less important than me. That's our sense. And that's, we shift that, we change that. It's called exchange yourself for others. And it means that that energy that was completely focused on my happiness, and I'm the most important, and I should take care of mine, now it gets switched. And you know the way we kind of take care of others, normally we take care of others, but it's for our happiness. But now you switch that, and it's like the most important thing becomes others' happiness. So I'm here for others' happiness, and my happiness becomes secondary. So you don't care about yourself, it's not like that, it's just you've switched the attitude. It's called exchanging self for others. And that comes from the foundation of just having really thought about the disadvantages of self-cherishing and the incredible advantages of cherishing others. It said that as long as you obsess just with yourself, you cannot achieve qualities, you cannot achieve realization, you cannot achieve happiness. And the difference between us and the Buddhas is the Buddhas were able to change that mind into the mind that cared more for others, cherished others. This is what you see in the great holy beings, as St. Francis of Assisi, Thomas Zampoz, Honus Dalama, Kyabjirimshe, great masters in Christianity and in Buddhism and in Hinduism and in all the different religions, that they cherish others. So thinking of the disadvantages of cherishing oneself, the advantage of cherishing others. As one great master said, I think, he said, until you realize that you yourself are your own worst enemy, Even the greatest guru can't do anything to help you. I like that. So disadvantages, recognizing disadvantages, self-cherishing, that comes on the basis of having understood how we are all the same. There is not one of us in this room is more important than anybody else. We all want happiness, we all don't want to suffer, we're all equally the same. So this equalizing self with others. The moment we kind of have this thought that I'm more important, but you have to kind of break that one down. And again, it's very simple to say, but you have to work at it. You have to look at that thought, but I'm more important. You have to break it down using wisdom and logic. We're not asking you just to believe it, we're asking you to check it out and experience and see what it's like if you have a different way of thinking. So you have to join up the dots, you see. Buddhism gives you the method, you have to join up the dots and reveal the picture. So developing compassion, good heart, loving kindness, that's the essence of the Mahayana. tradition, and from that, as you explain, all happiness comes. So His Holiness Dalai Lama says, you want to be selfish, be wisely selfish. Wisely selfish is cherishing others. I say this, I don't have a realization of this. You know, there are great masters who do. So I can only act as a bridge. I can only say these things in English and tell you stories and examples. But really, I thoroughly recommend that you meet with some of these great masters. I thoroughly recommend, if you have the opportunity, that you meet with our Geshe at Dorje Chang, who's just a radiant, beautiful being. And Geshe Wangchen, and you just being around him, it's like being around the sun, and you see what it's like, people who have really subdued their minds. And I totally recommend that you do whatever you can in your power to make connection with Lama Sopa Rinpoche, who's coming in March. Because to meet somebody like this is like an incredible opportunity. It's so rare and so precious. And it's something nobody else can describe for you. It's like, or if you have the opportunity to meet with the Dalai Lama, you know, please take it. And it's not the same watching a video or reading a book. There's just something about the presence, being in the presence of somebody who is just compassion, just wisdom, just love. It's very, very powerful. And then I think I'm going to finish there. So in the whole process of the path, developing wisdom, compassion, I haven't covered wisdom, but I can do that another time, another course. I haven't really covered compassion, can do it another time, another course. And there's still a lot of other things to say, but I think I've said enough. Don't you? I think I've said enough. Huh? I think I've said enough. I think that's enough. And then how do we go about the practice? Well, you know, we study, we reflect, we meditate, and along the way we purify and accumulate merit. So, a good way to purify is by reciting Vajrasattva Mantra, doing prostrations, recognizing the stupa. A good way of accumulating merit is by being kind and generous. Actually, making offerings is a very powerful way to accumulate merit. And it really opens your heart. In Buddhism, we put out water offerings every day because they say water is easy to give. The lamas often encourage, you know, if you find it hard to give, put something in one hand and hand it to the next. Then give it back to the other hand. Train yourself to give, be generous, be kind. Not just to people that you like or who will give it back to you, but to everybody. Just train to be kind and to be generous. And you'll be amazed at how much joy you get from it. It's actually so enjoyable to be kind and generous. Not that I have this experience, mind. But I see it in others. I see the incredible joy that comes by doing something. I was saying to... Geshe doesn't mind. I was saying to Geshe yesterday night, I said, in some ways, just to love others, just to love them and do simple, ordinary things for them, but with love, is one of the greatest gifts you can give. No, I see people that I admire greatly, who I regard as being very holy beings. Many of them aren't ordained, but they just do simple things with great love. I think Mother Teresa said that. You know, you may not be able to move mountains, but just do simple things with great love. I think that's very... Just do ordinary things with love. And how do you train in that? Well, sometimes it's just a question of in the morning you wake up and you say to Buddha it can be Jesus, of course, or the Guru, His Holiness, whatever. You just say, you know, please use me. Please use me. For this one, this whatever, and then you make a decision. You can actually pick on somebody, and you say, "Okay, today I'm going to do something really kind for this person." Actually, you can choose a victim, but don't tell them. That's a secret. They don't have to know who's doing it, and they don't have to know you're doing it. They do this in the monastery. In the monastery, they train the monks. They train them up to be so observant. They actually watch everything. You watch a Geshe or a Tibetan monk or go to a monastery, they are like eagles observing you. They watch everything. And they see what things you're having difficulty with and what things are helping you. And then they preempt. They go in there and they strike. And people come away from monasteries and they can't believe it. They say, I just It's like they just did everything. Why? Because they're all watching and they can see, oh, that will help. So they just show up with what you need. Or they just do everything that you need. It's all taken care of. You can't believe it. You've never experienced this before. But everything is taken care of. And they just have totally thought about what will make you comfortable or what won't. And it's not like in a hotel where they're all calculating it out and I'll get a bigger tip. No, 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 no. This is like, you know, because this is their practice. This is how they're training themselves. They train themselves to study, to watch, and to strike. And you won't even necessarily know who did it, but you walk in and, you know, there's a nice clean towel. Or it's folded. You know, in the West people stick little notes or stick flowers, but you don't actually even need to do that. It's just the way that you folded the towel. It's the way that you made the bed. It's the way that you, you know, clean the shower, or put the soap there, or, you know, just the ordinary things that you have to do anyway for others, but it's just the way that you did it. Somehow just express, this person's precious. People are precious. And our interactions with other people are very, very precious, very rewarding. My teacher says, sentient beings more precious than the Buddha. We think Buddhas are more precious, but actually the Buddhas see sentient beings as precious. And Buddhas come from sentient beings. So when Buddha looks at all of us, he looks at us with love, so much love, and he just sees all our qualities. It's amazing that the lamas, the love they have for every one of us. I use this example, it's like planting a garden, and you put all these seeds and you watch them grow, and then you weed a little bit and you tweak a little bit, but you just pour love. And that love allows people to grow, you see? And we as Westerners have to be very careful, because we come to something that's very pure like the Dharma, and we think, well, I really love this Buddhism and I think I want to become a Buddhist, but then we start beating up on ourselves. Like, I got angry. I just find it so hard to feel compassion. You know, or I can't afford. Today I haven't done anything, I just recited one mantra. It's amazing. And you don't find that with Asians. It just they let it flow. It's like, oh, today I walked around the stoop. Amazing. So we have to learn to feel joy when we do anything positive. And then that joy carries you on to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. That's actually the definition of effort. The version of effort is finding joy in virtue, and that makes it flow. So instead of it being a big deal, oh, I haven't given anything to anybody today, what should I give? Who should I give it to? You know, instead of seeing the faults in what we're doing, seeing like just even the little things that we do, just seeing, just, oh, today I recited one Om Mani Padme Hum. Isn't that amazing? Well, this weekend I went to Mahamudra and I walked around the stupa, and Bhanumadindra told me to develop a mind of loving kindness, and I tried. Amazing. Oh, well, you know, this weekend I could have gone fishing, I could have gone partying, but I went and I listened to the Dharma teachings. It's so precious. It's very, very beautiful when you're with people who are trying to practice this way. I find it incredibly inspiring, actually. So, practicing with joy. And these simple things, you know, kindness, trying to practice kindness, that's the most profound. In fact, there is I guess this will be the story that I'll finish off with. There's a story about, maybe I won't tell that one. No, they're just simple things like that. You watch, and then you watch, and then you do. Just doing ordinary things with love for others, appreciating them, making them feel precious. And you see, one reason why we can't do this, as I started saying the other day there, is because we don't see ourselves as precious. So stop thinking that way. Because Buddha sees you as precious. Buddha sees all your qualities. Buddha sees that with this life, you can develop so much. Buddha sees that whatever's happened in the past can drop away, it can fall away. That's not what you are. In every moment you're changing, in every moment you're different. Buddha sees that. Buddha sees that. And that's the reality. We aren't really anything and we're also everything. So then was I thought I would do, so I'm going to leave you with that thought. And So again, be aware that when you use this method and you say, you know, I am Buddha sees me with love, Buddha sees me as precious. Do I see myself as precious and kind? No, why not? Drop that view. You are precious and kind. You are precious to Buddha. You're precious to His Holiness. We are so precious to His Holiness Dalai Lama because we have connection with Him, so we can do His work. We can spread the message, the simple universal message. We can help others. If we open up and we ask, then everything comes. So we are precious. So then I had this thought that the center they built, Dorje Khadro, special room over there for Dorje Khadro. Did you see? Dorje Khadro is this big. Actually, there's like a waffle way to purify. So what you do is you take the sesame seeds and you visualize going into these sesame seeds, which are like dark black. You visualize all the darkness in your heart. So you visualize all the sufferings, all the delusions, all the anger, all the things you want to change, all the negative karmas you've created in the past. You visualize, it's like there's this black thing at your heart, and you imagine just black rays going out and just hooking from every part of your body, every cell and atom of your body, hooking in all this darkness. And then you imagine all this darkness just leaving through your nostrils in the form of scorpions and absorbing into these sesame seeds, black sesame seeds. And you can also think of all the sufferings, all living beings, and anybody that you know, all their sufferings, you can visualize like that. And then imagine it's all absorbing into these sesame seeds. And then what we do is we offer these sesame seeds, we offer them to this deity, Dorje Khadro, which is a manifestation of absolute guru, transcendental wisdom. And we offer to them, and we imagine that all these things are just destroyed and annihilated completely in the transcendental wisdom that understands all reality. They just disappear, they vanish. All the obstacles, everything just vanishes. So I thought it might be quite nice to do that. And so Nita's got some seeds, and she's going to pass around seeds to everybody. I'm going to do that visualization. We're all going to have lunch, and some people will go off. And if you don't go off, then I thought we would do a fire, and we would do the meditation and throw it into the. We would throw all these seeds into the fire, and burn them, and then we'll go to the beach. So when you take the seeds. So what you can do now, as she's going around, you can imagine, I don't know if anyone's explained this to you, so you can imagine your self-cherishing thought in the form of like a black lump at your heart. This is a meditation. And from this black ball, or this black lump, you can actually imagine like rays of light, like red black light, hooks go out. And they hook from every part of your body, every cell and atom. They hook back all the obstacles, all the negativities, all the anger, all the hatred, like anything you want to shift or you want to move. All this stuff that is blocking us from just going towards the light. You just hook all that back and you think it's all absorbed. So first you can do it with yourself. This is a meditation that you do. Almost like a magnet. Think of it as like a magnet, like an irresistible magnet that is just drawing everything. It's just drawing everything into this ball at your heart, this black ball. Just like a magnet, irresistible. It's like a magnet picks up the iron filings. It's drawing out the cells and the atoms of your body. Drawing it all into that ball at the heart. And also any sicknesses, any diseases, burn harms, anything like this. Anything that you feel needs to be cleared, cleaned up. Things in the past, things in the present, things that could block the future. And of course we think the darkness of ignorance and the darkness of self-cherishing, the darkness of the delusions and karma. And then you will let those light rays go out, and you'll let them go out to everybody else in this room and in this valley. Not just the humans, but you're also going to think about all the insects and all the sheep and all the cattle. Everything that's a being, people in the cars. And then go out further, the whole peninsula and then the whole of New Zealand, and then gradually you're just going to let that go out. People you know, people you don't know, people you like, people you don't like also. Think all those delusions and sufferings. Gradually you'll let it go out to the whole world. You'll think of places where there are wars and there's suffering, where there's famines, fighting, people in hospitals, people who are dying, people who are grieving. If there's a particular suffering that you're going through, then think about everyone else who has that suffering, and far worse. And you're going to imagine that this magnet at your heart, this kind of black lump, it becomes stronger and stronger, and it just attracts all these things. All these things just get drawn in to this black magnet. All the hatred energy. All the ignorance. All the craving desire, what we call the three poisonous minds, the main sickness, the main cause of sickness. So now imagine your whole body is hollow, and at your heart you have this, like a balloon, and at your heart you have this black lump. And you think that on the soles of your feet, and there is like bellows. We call it, say, wind mandala, it's like bellows. And at your navel, there is a fire, a triangular fire, with the tip pointing upwards. And you think that the wind comes, and it fans the bellows, and it's like this powerful wind just flows up your legs, and it blazes the fire. And as this fire blazes, it just pushes out this black, self-cherishing lump. It just shoots out, it just comes up higher and higher, and eventually it just exits your body. All the darkness is just pushed out, and it exits through your nostrils, and this blackness becomes those scorpions, black, nasty little creatures, and it just absorbs into these sesame seeds. You do that visualization, all absorbs into these sesame seeds, completely leaves you. Don't think there's any darkness left, it's completely expelled. So then feel that your body just becomes completely light. And now all the darkness is absorbed into the seeds, and we can collect the seeds together, put them in a lump, and then after lunch we'll do a puja and we'll burn everything. We'll just offer it, we'll burn it, we'll do as a clearing out puja. Yeah, get a bowl and put it back in, or on the tray, if you want, just put it back onto the tray. We'll mix it together so you don't cling to this as being my stuff. Put it all in. So if you want to stay, they're welcome. If you have to go, that's fine. We'll just burn everything. We'll burn it all together. It's better not on the... Oh yeah, put them all together.
Is it onto the
tray? I think you could tip it onto the tray, actually, and mix it all. But not on the... It doesn't have to be on the yellow thing. Because we'll mix it with butter. Huh? Oh, okay, then we'll mix it later, because we'll mix it up with butter. Then that will blaze up. And that's it. With that is it. So all I have to say is thank you very much. for coming, and I enjoyed. I went to the beach twice. I enjoyed very much. And the first night, I thought everyone was kind of quite on edge, but then it just seemed to dissolve, and it seemed to be such a beautiful group. Everyone has so much. It's just really such a beautiful group, very harmonious. So thank you very much. Opportunity to go through this book, look at this book. And we can chant a few mantra, finish. And then I'll dedicate.
Om Namah.
And every single one of us and all sentient beings. And now the precious sublime thought, loving kindness, compassion, bodhicitta, which is the source of all success and happiness, myself and all living beings, letting go of stuff and treasure others. Immediately be generated within my own mind, as the minds of all living beings, where it has been generated, not to kind of increase one more. I choose to my kind of myself, all Buddhas and Bodhisattvas and all sentient beings, which are completely empty of the same from their own side. May the eye, which is completely empty of the same from its own side, and quickly achieve state of enlightenment, which is completely empty of the same from its own side, lead all sentient beings completely empty of the same from its own side, to that state by myself alone. Jitala is not. May all teachers teach in true path to enlightenment at any time, in any place, have long and fruitful lives. And in particular, to understand Mama, who is the whole of the entire Sutra Tantra teachings in this world. Kajisal Brahmashe and Gashwanshan and all the teachers with whom we have met down contact, all the holy wishes be fulfilled, all the projects, all the centers be successful. May every single being, may every single sentient being be immediately freed from all their suffering and achieve every possible happiness just as their wish. May I be able to accomplish this by myself alone. May anyone merely by seeing, hearing, remembering, touching, talking, or thinking about me immediately be healed from all their suffering, delusions, negative karma. And may they experience great peace in their minds. May every action I do, be meaningful for others, whether I'm happy, whether I'm sad, whatever happens in my life, only be most meaningful for others. And so you see why the Karmapa, when he was looking down at all the lights, why he cried, you see, because all those people, they're looking for happiness, they're going to the shops and the nightclubs and the bars, but they don't understand that very act of looking and going to all these places is causing them suffering. That very, in and of itself, that looking outside is causing them suffering. How could they know? The only way to be free of suffering is to get rid of the causes in one's own mind. So what to do? Never give up hope that we can make a difference. Shambhisi Devadu Tengi.